Good morning. I'm going to start this morning by reading some lyrics from a song called Make a Way by Elevation Worship, which is a great song. I've been wearing this one out as well. While I'm reading it, see if you agree with some of these lyrics. Here they are. I know you'll come through. This mountain is moving. God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. The words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. You will make a way. You always make a way. I won't fear tomorrow because you're already in it. My hope in my future is already written. Nothing's too hard for you. Impossible's what you do. I know you've got this too. Impossible's what you do. Do you believe those words? Like, do you live them out? Do you words on the pages of Scripture and the promise he's made us truly have the final say? If you do, you probably have a hopeful future because you believe God's going to do it. Nothing's impossible. It's what he does. If you are like, I'm not so sure about that, you probably struggle with a hopeful future. You might even know these things. Maybe you've heard these things before, but maybe your story is littered with difficult times and just hardship, and it's hard for you to truly believe these words are true for you individually. Maybe you just can't wrap it. God always makes a way. God is always on the move. God sees all. God knows all. God's not surprised by anything that happens in our lives. And so my hope today is that we leave here this morning with the conviction in our lives that God sees us, that God knows us, that God loves us. God knows what you've gone through. God knows what you're going through. And God certainly knows what you're going to go through. And so this can really recast hope for us, because if God already knows the things that we've experienced or going through or will go through, that means God can make a way in our lives when he will. So that's the hope today. But before we jump into what Scripture has to say this morning, let's invite God to meet us where we are. Let's pray. God, just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit and just open up our eyes for us this morning. God, remind us of where you've made a way in our lives. Maybe even where you're making a way, where you've created questions about you that we've never had. And maybe for those of us that aren't sure about who you are, would you reveal yourself in a very real way this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andy. If I've not met you, thanks so much for coming. We're so glad you're here. We are in our final installment of Recasting Hope, and next week we'll start a new series. And if you have your Bibles with us, we're headed to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And if you have your journals open or ready, you can open those. If you don't have one, you can grab one in the back. They're absolutely free. Again, we're wrapping up our series, Recasting Hope. And if you've missed any of the last 2 weeks, I really encourage you to go back and watch or listen to them. Today, we're going to see where God has made a way. He's made a way in a place that you wouldn't think he would because of the circumstances they find themselves in. So we're going to look at this specific king who had a choice to make when it comes to following God's way, to either engage or disengage, which is the same choice we have each and every day. And at the beginning of 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we read about this king, Josiah. He was 8 years old when he became king, which creates a lot of questions for me. I have an 11-year-old boy, and I can't imagine him being king of anything. Verse 2 tells us that Josiah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and he followed the examples of his ancestors, King David. So far, we know that Josiah, he's a good person, right? Then we see in verse 3 that in his 8th year of his reign, which now means he's 16 years old, which doesn't really give me a whole lot of hope either, but at 16, now he's not only following the ways of his ancestors, he begins to seek the God of his ancestors. So Josiah is moving from this good moral behavior to now seeking God. He has a curiosity about this God that drove King David's actions and his decisions. So with that in mind, let's read it for ourselves, starting with verse 3. It said, in the 8th year of his reign, while he, Josiah, was still young, he began to seek God, the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles and idols. Under his direction, the altars of Baal or Baals were torn down. He cut into pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke into pieces, scattered over the graves to those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and the ruins around them. He tore down the altars of the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut into pieces the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. So these idols and these false gods that were these were put into place by his father, King Amon, which means gods and these false idols. And yet, he's now seeking the God of his ancestor, David. We can see God is beginning to make a way. This king is continuing to cleanse these neighboring towns of all these false idols and false gods. And then we're told when he's 26 years old, Josiah restores the temple and all the related buildings. Josiah, it seems, that he's doing his best, right, to follow God as he continues to seek this God. And against the odds, God is making, while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. We'll talk about that in a second. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." And he gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, "Your officials are doing everything that's been committed to them." Like, they're following your leadership. "They've paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it. He has given me and the workers." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. So they found this book of the law, which was likely the first five books of the Bible. And they tell King Josiah, we found it, and he begins to read from it. Listen to the response. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robe. He tears his robe. This is likely the first time this king has ever seen a copy of the scriptures. It's certainly the first time he's likely heard from the scriptures being read. And if you remember way back in earlier, in our earlier readings, we were doing a reading plan, the kings were told to read from the scriptures all the days of their life, like daily. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. You can read about it for yourself. And this was to help the king from drifting from God, to remain centered in what God had for Israel and the king and their people. And this is, again, why it's important for us to remain in God's word, so that we too can remain centered and not drift from God, because God wants to not just tell us about who he is, he wants to remind us about what he has for us, the promises that he has. And Josiah hasn't been doing this, which is one of the many reasons we see him tear his robe. Josiah has come face to face with how he and his people have drifted from God, and he now realizes that he has sinned. And even though he was doing good and acting in the best way that he knew how, Scripture even tells us that no one is good except God alone. Even in the good deeds, it didn't make Josiah a follower of Jesus. Good deeds do not equal a righteous person. We cannot earn our way into heaven. We cannot earn our way into a relationship with Jesus. It's only through a relationship with Jesus, accepting him as Lord and Savior, that we become righteous, which simply means we're in the right standing with God. See, we can do the right thing, even for the right reasons, but that doesn't make us God. He's and just is of God. He has been moved by the word of God. He's heard the promises of God. He realizes that God has the final say. I think, honestly, this moment for us is really hard for us to grasp. And I can understand why. I probably have 30 Bibles at my house, right? We have access to Bibles right here on our phone. We can even have our phones read us the Bible. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible's the null time. As a matter of fact, every 10 seconds, 6 Bibles are sold. So, but from the beginning of this service to the end of the service, over 400 Bibles would have been purchased. We have no shortage of Bibles. We have no issues tracking one down. I bet if we could all jump on Amazon right now and have one delivered to our house before the end of the day, right? That's how easy it is for us to access God's word. As a matter of fact, if you don't have a Bible of your own, we give them away in the back. A lot of scholars have one for free. This wasn't true in Josiah's day. A lot of scholars believe there were not only just few copies, but maybe as little as a dozen copies of Scripture, of the first five books of the Torah. So to see this sacred text and hear from it overwhelms the king. Now, let's be honest. How many of us, me included, take our Bibles for granted, right? We see the Word of God. Maybe we even treat it like a book. Like, there's some great stories in there, right? You can learn a lot about God, but maybe we've lost the true weight that the words carry. Josiah quickly grasps the weight of the words that he hears. God has made a way into his heart. It says they've restored the temple, which means this copy, this sacred text, survived the destruction of the temple. Somehow God preserves this copy. Not only that, God ordains who would find it, when they would find it, and when it would get into the king's hands so that it would have the most impact on the king's life. Now think about this. We have unprecedented access to God's word. We might even have a Bible by our chair, in the living room, on our counter, by our dresser. Maybe it's on our desk at work, maybe in the nook we have for our quiet time. But how often are we spending time in the sacred text of God? And it's not even about the amount of time. Although, the more time we can spend in his word, the more opportunities we'll have to hear from God through his word. The first five books of the Old Testament, it said, moved Josiah to tear his robe. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are some boring reading in the first five books of the Old Testament, right? There are a lot of parts I get to. I'm like, I think I'll just skim through these, right? And God still moved Josiah to tear his robe. Towards the end of my sabbatical, I had the privilege to go to the Bible Museum in D.C. with my coaching network, and I had the opportunity to see one of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found between 1947 and 1956. God had preserved many of these scrolls, one of which was the entire book of Isaiah. It was on display. It was really remarkable to see. It was the original scroll that they had found, almost fully complete. I say almost. It wasn't because they were missing pages. It was missing a few words because a few of the pages were damaged. So for the most part, it was the entire book of Isaiah. And I found myself, as people heard, this would have been thousands of years ago. I mean, maybe you remember this, but I'm reminded of Jesus when he publicly starts his ministry. He reads from the scroll of Isaiah. I mean, if that scroll could talk, what stories would it share? Now, that scroll to me, in my mind, that was sacred. It was special. It had a story. But the reality is, this same Bible that I bought on Amazon at the beginning of the year is equally as sacred. Maybe not in the historical context of that scroll, but certainly in the spiritual context. And that gives me tremendous hope. It gives me hope that the same words that were spoken thousands of years ago that transformed my life can still transform other people's lives. It's still true today. That same sacred text still moves. As a matter of fact, we're told this in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any of the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. God's word is still making a way in people's lives. God's promises are just as true today as they were yesterday and the day before. God still has the final say. Josiah tears his robe because he's realized, as the nation's leader, that he hasn't been fulfilling the commandments that God had for him. He's not doing the things that were asked. So he tears his robe. God was planning to bring disaster on the king and his people, we're told, because they had abandoned following and worshiping the true God and instead worshiping these false idols and gods. But verse 27 gives this king and his people hope. It says, because your heart was responsive to God's word, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and those who live here. Josiah humbles himself. He repented. He turned back to God. We talked about this last week, right? Josiah's faith in God not only saved him, but it saved others. This, again, should bring us hope That's the power of our conversion when we give our life to Christ and when we submit our lives to Jesus. When we authentically follow Jesus and engage in his word, God can use us to bring other people God so that they know the God that created them, the God that loves them, the God that's for them. God makes a way. As I mentioned, the Bible Museum, later on that tour, they had this really cool room. They had this wraparound screen of all of Jerusalem, and in the middle, they had this center cylinder. We have a picture of it. I don't know if you can make out exactly what that statement is in the question, but this is what it says. It says, record your story. How has the Bible impacted you? Keep that up here for just a second. You can also see this TV here with this person. You could touch around on the other side, which I didn't take a picture of. There's a door. You could enter that door, shut the door, and you could record your own story of how the Bible has impacted your life. There are signs throughout this room that said, when has the Bible helped you through a difficult time or decision in your life? And then it says, personal stories reveal the diverse ways that the Bible impacts people around the world. And that's the power of God's word. This is how God continues to make a way through his word. The sacred words in our Bible, and dare I say, even on our screens in the Bible app, have the power to impact our lives and help us through difficulty. The Bible still has the power to guide us. It reveals God's truth, and it can change everything. Just look at the first few words Jesus spoke from that scroll of Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. These words revealed the reality of God's Spirit at work in the life of Jesus, and now it reveals the truth that the Spirit in the reality is he's still working in us and through us. The Bible still has the power to impact us. It has the power to meet us, convict us, encourage us, and transform us, and this is hopeful. We can have hope because God's word is still alive, because we have unprecedented access to God's word. So this morning, I want to close by just reading some scriptures to us. Now, if you don't know the God of the Bible, these promises are true for you as well. He is ready and willing to invite you into his kingdom and into his family to call you one of his kids. And all you have to do is say yes to him, to accept his leadership in your life. Now, while I'm reading these verses, listen for the promises that are there. But don't just listen with your ears. Listen with your spirit. Maybe it'd be helpful to close your eyes. Listen for God's love, kids. Don't worry about trying to write down all these scriptures. Like, I want to write these down because I want to read them later. I can send them to you later. Just ask me about them after church, right? Don't get distracted on that. Soak them in. Let them speak to you. Ask God's Spirit to meet you right now. Here's the first one. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or an overwhelming threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate. Here's another one. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Here's another one. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean's depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. Here's another one. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This one might be familiar. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. How about this one? I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love. You've seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul. Here's another one. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression. The last one I'll share. This hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, we don't need to tear our clothes. We don't have to weep, but we do have the same choice the king had: engage or disengage, to choose to love and obey Jesus or not. We do have to let the word of God make a way in our lives. I've shared this the last several weeks, but personally, I'm on this journey of spending more dedicated time with God, not just reading his word, but spending time in prayer with God, in solitude and silence. Because when we spend purposeful time with Jesus, we're also spending time in his word. We're reminded of this in the Gospel of John. It says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, in the person of Jesus. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God made another way. We have the Spirit of truth that lives in us as followers of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that lived in Jesus, lives in us. We have access to it as one of his kids. This should also give us hope that God will always make a way to be with us. God will always make a way to show us his love. God always makes a way to reveal his mercy and his grace. I mean, let's be on the lookout for it. Let's spend time with Jesus. Let's spend time in our Bibles. Let's spend time, as Janice talked about, in small groups with other believers, encouraging one another. Let's spend time in prayer. Let's spend time in the quiet, listening for God to speak. When we do that, God will move in our lives. God will move through our lives because he's promised to do so. Let me read it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow comes down from heavens and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Here it comes. So empty that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God always makes a way. God's word makes a way. This is the promise we have. This is why it's important to engage with Jesus in our quiet time, in our readings, with other people, processing what we think God is doing in us and through us, what he's saying to us. This is the journey I want us all to be on. This isn't my journey, it's our journey, to spend time with our Heavenly Father as he continues to remind us how much he's for us, how much he loves us, how much he sees us. So this morning, I want to create that space the best way we can for us to do that. So grab your Connect cards that Janice spoke of. If you haven't filled this out, at least put your name on there. We believe God has a next step for you. And by putting your name on there, you're agreeing that, God, I believe you want a challenge. I think you want to take me an offering when it goes by. The first next step is this. Accept Jesus for the first time. Maybe today's the day you say yes to Jesus. You want to engage in these promises that he has. You want to know the God of the Bible that's full of love and mercy and grace. You want to be moved to emotion and action because he changes us from the inside out. When Josiah heard the words that were promised, these scriptures, the sacred text, it spoke to him. It was God's spirit that began to break him and change him. He began to see life differently and the circumstances differently. That's the promise that God gives us. And if you make that decision today, you can note that on the Connect card, drop it in. We'll be doing baptisms in a few months. We'd love to celebrate that decision with you as well. But we want to get some resources in your hand. If you don't have a Bible, grab one. There's great resources. All those things back there are absolutely free. The second is our memory verse. Our last week to commit this one to memory or write it in our heart, because next week we'll have a new memory verse for the series. But it's 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we taught out of last week. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Write these promises in our heart, because when we're in dire circumstances, when we're crying out to God, you might be surprised how these truths bubble up in us, in our spirit, and we're reminded of these truths. And these are things we can pray. He's always there. He's desperately wanting to spend time with us. I read on Friday during my day off, I'm reading a book on prayer, and it's reminded of the great theologian, St. Augustine. It said, God thirsts for those that are thirsty for him. We're thirsty. When we begin to be thirsty for him, God is thirsty for us to be thirsty for him. Just a great reminder of God's posture for us, always waiting. Third is allow God to make a way. We can close God off. We can consciously say, I don't want to hear from God. Now, he can still make a way, but it'll be a little harder when we're not open to it. But when we're open, we have that posture, right? Like, I want to allow God to make a way. And I'm going to spend time in his word. I'm going to spend time in his presence with prayer and solitude, with other believers. There's lots of ways to do that, but watch how God begins to open up doors, how he begins to speak to you, how you begin to see things differently, how you react differently in situations, maybe that you would normally act one way and all of a sudden you don't react that way. And when God starts to change you, people will start to notice. They'll go, hey, what happened there? Like, you didn't react like you normally did. Or man, how can you be so calm in the midst of chaos? And God will open up doors. He'll make a way for you to tell your story about what God's doing in your life and through your life. We're going to spend some time in just a second doing that. And the fourth next step we have for you is to receive prayer. We have prayer teams that will be up here on my right and back in the back corner, my left. Go receive prayer. I think this is one of the most powerful ways you can just receive from God in this setting is through letting other people pray for you. You may have something specific you want prayer for. Maybe you have a praise report to share. Maybe you got some sickness, you need some healing. We believe God still can heal today in a moment. Maybe you're like, I don't know what I want prayer for. Just bless me. Let them bless you. Other ways to receive prayers, write it on your Connect card, drop it in the offering here in just a second. You can leverage our prayer wall in the back. We have tags there that you simply write your prayer requests. If you want the church to pray for you, make sure everybody can read it. If you prefer just the staff or the prayer teams, make sure the writing is facing the wall. That's just another way to engage with prayer here. And of course, you can email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. But we'd be honored to pray for whatever's going on in your life. Maybe you've come with somebody and you want to pray for each other. Do that right in the seats. This is a great opportunity to invite God to make a way into our lives and to slow ourselves down. The other way, as I mentioned, is just that silence and solitude. Now, we're certainly going to be singing music and like, well, that's not very silent. I mean, silencing your mind. It doesn't necessarily have to be a place that's completely silent. And just open yourself up and go, God, I'm going to wait on you. If you find your mind racing, you're to-do lists or what's lunch because your stomach's growling or whatever it is. Just center yourself back and go, okay, Jesus, I'm waiting on Jesus. I'm waiting on Jesus to speak. And he may give you something. He may give you a picture. You may feel something. You may not have any of that. That's okay. You're spending time with the Heavenly Father. He will fill the space. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering if you've come prepared to give. And if you don't mind dropping your Connect cards in there. While they're doing that, if you want to grab your communion elements that you would receive when you walked in. And if you didn't grab them, you can grab them in the back in the basket. But we do this in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. Back in the disciples' day, that Last Supper, when Jesus offered up the bread as his body and the wine as his blood, everything up until what he said was normal. They would have experienced this. They would have understood it. As a matter of fact, a lot of leaders and kingdoms, when they want everybody to agree, they would have a meal just like this, and they would pass around the cup. And if you drank from this cup, you were saying, I'm in agreement with everything you're saying. I'm in. Well, that's part of this act of doing communion. It's a reminder, certainly, that Jesus' body was broken, his blood was shed, but we're also saying, as Christ followers, I'm in. To the best way I can, I'm going to pursue you the best way I know how. Jesus, you're the gap filler, but I'm in. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to listen to the words you say. I'm going to step out in faith that we're inviting Jesus, not just as a reminder, but we're saying, I'm in with you, Lord. I'm ready to follow. Let me pray. God, just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, would you make a way this morning? Maybe in a way you never have for some people. Maybe it's just a reminder of a feeling that we've had, like, oh yeah, that's the Lord. I know that's the Lord. Maybe it's the lyrics that are sang that are just truths from you. Prayer of how we want you to move in the future. But God, just come. In the way that you can, would you make a way? Would you reveal yourself to us? Would you put a thirst in us for you? Make us hungry for your word? Would it speak to us differently? God, create space in our lives so that we can create space for you. Remove the distractions for the remaining moments we have for you here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to sit or stand and receive prayer.